Hello, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Ryan, and I've got nothing quirky to say today.
That's so not fun, Ryan. Anyway, I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase, and today we get a lesson in cutting costs from Wizards of the Coast on this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. Welcome back to Season 4, Episode 5 of the Tabletop Battlefield. I had to do a quick mental count there. The official podcast of the Army Showcase over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. I'm pretty sure it's 5. Yeah, I think it is. I hope it's 5. Actually, it might be 6. I don't remember. It's either 5 or 6, regardless, whatever, it doesn't matter. What we're talking about today, now that we've got off to a great start, is we're going to look at the new HeroScape Master Set, Battle for the Underdark. This is the Dungeons & Dragons theme one, so it's going to be the first major product on the HeroScape line as done by Wizards of the Coast. As previously, this game was done by Hasbro. But before we give the details of that, I want to welcome Sarah on the show for the first time. She's normally on that side of the camera, so it's time to invite her on. She likes Dungeons & Dragons a little bit, has some fun, tried this game out. Of course, Ryan's our crazy HeroScape person.
I'm always here.
As long as Sarah does a good enough job as Ryan did in his very first episode, she'll be allowed to come back. Which, by the way, that's a very low bar to jump over. Because that show has been removed. You'll never see that one ever again. But regardless.
In case of Kyle's
so
not watching.
So welcome, Sarah. Hope you have fun doing this.
Thank you.
And now, why don't we talk a little bit about how the show is going to work. We're not going to do a traditional review as we've done here before in the Tabletop Battlefield. I actually kind of want to make things go a little bit differently. I'm looking at some of the requests people have had in the past about some YouTube comments, things like that, how we've done stuff. So we're going to change things up, and this is what we're going to do. First off, we're going to do kind of an unboxing, where we kind of look through all the components and see what we like, what we don't like. So it's going to be more focused on the actual components and a little less structure than we have done in the past. Then we move on to the game setup, where we talk about how to set the scenarios, if there's any assembly, things like that, and kind of run through, talk about that for a little while. Then we'll do a few battle reports, play a few of the scenarios in the book, maybe bring in some of the old figures, play one of those battles, and see how everything works out together, and talk about the actual final gameplay. And the last part is where we get to more of a traditional style, which is all three of us sit down, we go in a conversation back and forth, saying what we like and what we didn't like about the game, and we finally get to our final reviews and give our ultimate judgment on the new HeroScape Master Set. So, with that, let's get started. You guys ready to unbox this thing and take a look inside?
Mm-hmm.
Even though, see, Ryan's already got to a bit of a head start on this.
Yeah, right. Hey, I'm like a kid in a candy shop,
Let's do this officially. Let's unbox HeroScape Master Set 3, Battle for the Underdark. Here we go. Well, Ryan's already gone ahead, as you see here, got a bunch of the figures. Actually got all the figures out from this set. Battle for the Underdark has 10, is it 10 figures? Yeah, 10 pre-painted plastic figures here. So what do you think? Do you think they look good in terms of painting quality?
Besides the dragon's teeth, yes.
Yeah, I can agree with you.
Their painting quality is good.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's one thing HeroScape's always done pretty well. It's always been, a pre-painted miniatures game. No crazy figure assembly, nothing like that to take a look at. So let me hold some of the figures up to the camera over here. So they come in different sizes. Now, one little note to point out about these figures. Here's a little dragon. I think he's kind of wimpy. Yeah, I want to give a hand wave for the dragon. He's kind of wimpy. He doesn't, personally, I don't think he looks that good in terms of, but all the other figures look pretty good otherwise. Let me actually get out some of the old figures here. I've got one of the original 101st Airborne figures that came in the original set. And you notice here, if you put the old figure next to the new figure, what do you know? Yeah, you pointed out, what do you notice about those, Ryan?
Figures are a bit smaller.
Yeah. What's going on here is why I mentioned the whole cost-cutting thing.
Well, just compare the dragons.
Oh, yeah, or compare the dragons. And it's like, Nilfheim here could eat this little baby dragon for lunch. What's going on here is, Wizards of the Coast made a Dungeons & Dragons miniatures game a few years back. It kind of died out, and now the figures are still available. Some people use them for actually playing the actual Dungeons & Dragons role-playing game. So pretty much all the figures here that are going to be in this master set and the Dungeons & Dragons-related figures that are coming out are total resculpts. So they're using the same molds they used for that game for HeroScape, which the problem is they're not quite the same scale. Let me show you here. There's the new figure. There's the old figure. They're a little bit smaller in terms of the size. So for me, being such a cost-cutting measure, I'm going to say just negative on that. I don't know if you guys got an opinion on that.
Same.
Same here.
It's kind of, it's not too awful except for the dragon.
Except for the dragon, yeah.
Except for the dragon. But it's still, it's just kind of like, well, instead of, you know, making them actually be HeroScape figures, they're just trying to really recycle cost and just how can we basically...
That doesn't make me feel good.
Screw our customers as much as possible.
Yeah, I don't feel the warmness in my heart anymore.
No, it's a little bit of a downer. But
yeah, it does.
Tell us about the cards here, Ryan, while I'm taking a drink of water.
Well, the cards are relatively the same as they were before. I mean, you got special attacks. I think one thing, though, is...
I need a couple cards.
I love their movement. Their movement is pretty fast, but their attack and defense are actually lower than most figures are.
Stat-wise, these guys are not as impressive as they have been in the past, so we're going to give some negative points to that. What do you think, sir? You like the way those look?
Not really.
Not really? Anything particular you don't like about them, or...?
The pictures aren't very clear.
Oh, yeah, because the pictures are just really zoomed-in pictures of the figures, so they're not, like, special artwork, which...
Mm-hmm. Well, they've never been special artwork.
Yeah, it's always just been the figures. Regular D&D, their pictures are really detailed.
So. Yeah, oh, no kidding?
They have, probably well-drawn
So as a D&D player, you feel kind of offended by the fact that they did it? Okay, right, goes in. They're not catering to the D&D player, then.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah, because like I said, all the HeroScape cards have always been like that. But like, they're not, obviously, these close-up pictures of the figures aren't as good as actual artist renderings or something like that. Let's move on now. Let's try to get the rest of the stuff here.
No, I just want to say one thing about it. You can sure. open it up, Jason. Just, I noticed about the box, like all the other previous Master sets, it's been a huge box.
Oops, I dropped the card.
You know, it's like Master Set 1, yes. Master Set 2. They've been huge boxes with a flap-open thingy that you'd be able to see everything inside. I'm a little disappointed at seeing this is a smaller box.
Like for the whole box.
And it says, and I was just double-checking, it says Master Set 3 on it.
Yes. This is by far the smallest of the three Master Sets.
Yes.
It's also the cheapest. It's only $30 versus $40 before.
Well, I'm glad they cheapened it then.
But it's still
a bit smaller.
It's still a lot less pieces. You used to get, I think the original set had 26 figures, and Sworn Tomorrow had, 20... This one has 10. The original one had 70 or 80 tiles to it.
And that is just a minor thing, but still, it just, I hate it when you get so many niches in your side over something.
So we get the tile pieces out here. These are obviously what you see. The same things you always had before. Nothing new or exciting here. If you played HeroScape before, they're the same hexagon tiles that they build up and kind of pile on each other. For me, that's kind of indifferent. You know, it's the same stuff we've seen before, especially with this being kind of a dungeon theme set. Granted, there are different color tiles. Mm-hmm. This is called the dungeon tile or something like that, which is light gray.
Yeah. It's like a stone type tile.
Now you get your favorite, Ryan's favorite tile coming
these
out here.
Shadow type tiles. Now these are kind of cool, and we'll explain it later. But these really help some of the players that are that do shadow type of attacks and defenses.
Yeah. So what the shadow spaces are, they look kind of like water tiles. They're very thin, but they're all black and kind of creepy, nasty looking. And, of course, you got your other usual stuff, your order tokens. Everything else is pretty much the same. So you definitely like the shadow tiles, though, don't you, Ryan? They're purple, yes.
Yeah, why are they Barney purple?
Is that a hatery for you?
Yes.
There's a lot of color changes like that, little things. There.
Yes. Oh, and you want to mention the glyphs, Jason?
Oh, yes, the glyphs. Of course, the glyphs are little hexagon tiles you put down the board that when your characters walk over, they usually have power-ups to them. There's one huge problem we run into here. The glyphs in this set... are gold colored because it's supposed to be probably treasure icons. That's what they are because it's a dungeon themed thing. The problem is all the other glyphs from all the other master sets are red, and the way the game works is you place the glyphs face down. So the idea is when you walk over the glyph, you don't know what you're gonna get there until you flip it over. The problem is when you got two different colors going there, you know which ones are the ones from this set and which ones are the other ones. So you kind of just get an idea of if you walk on a gold one, you're gonna get one of these three glyphs. Versus a red one, again, one of the, does that make sense? Because it kind of ruins a bit of the randomability to it.
Yeah, it does.
So that's definitely a hatery on my part.
Now, sir, I got a question. Do any of these, three things we mentioned, does this anything have to do with the D&D universe at all? Okay.
Not at all.
Because I would say that if it were a D&D player wanting to play this game, if this had anything to do with the Dungeons & Dragons world, and I would see how they're catering to the people who play Dungeons & Dragons. But
it doesn't.
If it's not, then it's not only hurting the HeroScape player... for confusing everybody about why is this purple, why is this gold, it makes people more confusing and takes a little bit off the gameplay. Yeah. I think
that gold is just because they're supposed to be, quote, treasure tiles. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's really from Dungeons & Dragons are the characters themselves.
Okay.
Like the Drow or Hineer, some of the, I don't know if these are famous heroes or not. I don't know if you're familiar
with
them.
Some of them are, yeah.
But like the world, I don't know what the world's called, but it's supposed to be one of the Dungeons and Dragons worlds. But that's pretty much what you're going to get in the box. There's like a lot of these tiles, a lot of small pieces. Of course, you got the normal battle dice, which have your different symbols on them. It's like, I've always liked the Heroescape dice. They're, because the whole mechanic works simple. We'll talk about that. And he's still obsessed with the Barney Purp. Barney Purp was going to bring the whole game down.
It is. I think it is. Just
okay.
And not only that, there's like little, it's like a shield now. Or has it always been like a shield?
It's not a shield. It's not a shield.
Okay, it's got like, okay.
And the last thing you're going to find here are these giant kind of cliff spire things. You've seen these before.
Those are cool.
They're basically rock versions of what came in the Yeti expansion pack if you have the Aperture Escape. But other than that, that's all you're going to get pretty much in the box. Why don't we go ahead and get this game set up and start running through a few games. Like the idea?
Okay.
Let's go. That's a rock. That's not a dungeon one. That's a rock.
The dungeon rock. Ones are the green things.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all right. Dungeon rock, whatever. The same difference between ninjas and samurais or whatever.
That was a big difference between ninjas and samurais. You get that right. It's been 2 years. Get that right. There we go. The first scenario is set up. We got the board all assembled, ready to go. I'm just going to go ahead, obviously give it a so sweet, because once again, this is HeroScape using the traditional HeroScape tiles, and it's freaking awesome. It's always been really good. What do you think, Ryan?
With additional shadow tiles, yes.
Okay. Sarah, you like how the board works?
I'm into that.
The one small complaint, though, was going through the, using the guide to build it, we kept mixing up the dungeon and the stone tiles, because they're not very clearly marked.
Me personally, I didn't care.
It annoyed me. So if you don't care, then we'll mark it down.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me.
All right, well,
as long as they're there.
That's how setup kind of goes. It takes a little, how long it takes? Maybe 10 minutes to get this whole thing set up? Maybe a little less than that.
A little bit less.
So it's not a chubby long setup game. There's not a lot of army building for this game. It's usually relatively quick. We'll probably talk about that maybe a little bit more when we do a different battle. But let's go ahead and play this first scenario and see how it works out. All right? So here's the setup of the new HeroScape Master Set. This is the first scenario in the what's called the Master Campaign. So in the very back here, we have two of the heroes who are getting ready to try to rescue their friend who's trapped in a cage, drowning slowly at the feet of the troll. And the troll's object is to stop them. We've got Ryan over here controlling the two heroes, and possibly a third hero if he doesn't get a job. And Sarah's over here controlling the troll, which I think, for since she has an advantage in this situation. But we're going to find out here. So why don't you guys go ahead and start playing. We'll see how things go. So here we go. We've already got the first combat going on as Sarah's taking the troll up to beat on, what's her name, Anna something?
Yeah.
Anna Carathon. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, she rolled a 3 shields on 3 attack dice, therefore doing no damage.
Yeah, that helped a bit, but
it's very sad.
Now, at this point, Ryan claims there's a huge flaw in his plan, but for obvious tactical reasons, he's not telling us what that may be. We'll see what happens here. He says it becomes blatantly obvious really quickly.
Why isn't there any undead characters in here? You know? Because she, her like special abilities for undead characters, and there's an undead character here.
That does kind of suck.
Yeah, it does. A little bit.
There's a zombie. Dude, there's zombies out here. So Ryan's now done a serious blow to the troll here with... What's the guy's name? That's Tandros? Tandros Keeler, something like that?
Yeah.
Doing 4 damage to the troll means I got 4 life left. But he regenerates pretty darn quickly. So Sarah, your second action of the turn...
Smash.
Yeah, smash.
She just wants to physically pound something into dust, I think. I think she's a little upset.
Troll smash. That's a little better. Two hits this time.
Okay. One hit.
Takes a point of damage. This is where things start getting better for the troll. Now, also, you regenerate one. So take one of those wound markers off your troll. So, go, Ryan. What's your master plan? If you want to have any chance, you gotta get the elf out in a hurry.
Yeah, I know.
You gotta all. If Creel dies,
that's why I'm doing the third order.
You're in a heck of a lot of trouble. So, go
one,
nuts.
One, two, and I just sit in the glyph, right?
And now roll your d20. I think five or better, he comes out alive. Oh, sorry, six or better. You're good. So you put him out in adjacent square. This is Ryan's probably in the best position you possibly could be in right now. We'll see if he can capitalize on it. Sarah? Mm. Is it order number three for you?
Yep.
Smash.
Smash.
Even though Sarah's been wailing on Tangelo's keel with basically a lot of attack dice, he's been rolling like two and three shields every time, preventing any actual damage from getting.
The dice actually liked me this game.
That's creepy and disturbing. They're gonna fail you very shortly, right? Like next turn's gonna be all nothing, dead. Ah, shoot.
Don't say that, please.
As long as all three of his heroes are alive, Ryan does have a shot to win this, but if one goes down, he's gonna be in a lot of trouble. So, are we round four now? This is where things start falling apart for Ryan. So now as tactics start going down the wayside, of course Ryan falls back to his I hate all dice, right?
Yes, dice hate me.
There's nothing wrong at all.
I don't hate dice. Dice hate me.
You're right. That's
I got nothing against dice. They have everything against me. Okay, so he's dead. He's out.
So here we are now. We are in round seven. And Ryan's just slowly picking pieces by the troll. We got two more hits to add to that. No, he does. Oh, there's two more wounds on.
Two more wounds.
What's his name?
Mm-hmm.
How do you pronounce that?
Sunshadow. There you go.
Sunshadow. That sounds good. Yeah.
And he's going to die.
He's going to die. Well, soon. Make a last stand. I mean, well, you can't kill things. You only do most four wounds. Well, you roll all four twice. Use a special ability. You have a slight chance of winning this. It's done. There you go.
Well, three hits.
Oh, that's so close. Okay, roll your one defense match, Sarah.
Nope.
Three more wounds. So
wounds?
She's in pretty bad shape. If she doesn't kill you this time, you might actually have a chance of killing her.
Yeah, but she rolls six dice.
Yes, the blood frenzy's going to keep you alive.
Yeah.
Six attack dice. Roll them and see what happens.
Not seven, six.
Should I have seven again?
Yep.
Three wounds. So you're guaranteed to take one wound.
Yep.
I'm
dead.
Two wounds, you're dead, and that's game.
Boom.
Yay.
So Sarah won that one, wiping out all the heroes. Ryan hides his face and shit.
Woohoo!
So we're doing now a free-for-all battle here. We've got Sarah commanding the forces of Eniar over on this side of the small field. I'm back here, the forces of Jandar, led by, of course, Nilfheim, the greatest dragon ever. And then Ryan is commanding mostly the Utgard figures from the new Dungeons & Dragons expansion, with the exception he's got, was it Nikosa? Is that how you pronounce his name hiding back there?
Nikosa.
Nikosa, whatever. One of the Morrow Warriors to fill out the points. So here we go. It's going to be a one-hour-long free-for-all battle. It's going to be the last man standing, or we'll basically do some kind of crazy points math at the end to see who wins or if you even care at that point. So, here we go. Let's get ready to start with this huge free-for-all battle. So for the first turn, I move my knights and Nilfheim up and just beat up his troll, so the troll is dead, he just got sheer overwhelmed. Sarah brought her little, the Kyries up here and attacked one of his Dungeon Dragons evil hero guy, I forget what it's called, Felloth or something?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the hero Drow just got killed by all those little guys.
Yes.
His dragon managed to kill one of my knights, and Sarah brought down one of my snipers with her two of her samurai. Now we're going on turn two to see what other crazy stuff happens.
For me to be at anyway.
Ryan's debating where to move his dragon. He's going to swoop it down to somebody.
Debate's over.
Little guy? Oh, he's going for little guys.
Yeah.
Okay, too, and you'll be able to be happy standing over here. Alright, go ahead, roll your attacks. One of those guys is going to get ripped to shreds. He gets a plus 3 to his attack when he dives like that, right? When he starts in water or shadow.
5, 6, 7, and then 8. Then 8 total because he has a plus 1.
Okay. Attack an elevated guy to make a 9? Or is it... Add insult to injury, add the attack the elevated down guy down there and roll 9 attack dice?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Sarah's Kyrie were just ripped apart by that dragon up there. We have a little bit of fighting between the drow and the samurai. And over here, one of the drow came after my knights and was probably killed by Nilfheim's breath weapon. And Sarah's slowly beating me to pieces over on this side as well. And she's about to do it again as the samurai is going to act some more. An epic battle. Nilfheim swooped down after Ryan's dragon to try to go after the tiny little Raylan's, poor defenseless little Raylan there. And he missed Raylan, and then Nilfheim just kind of bit him down with 6 hits to your 2 defense guys for 4 wounds, giving him 5 wounds total. He's now dead. But this one will last it, right, Ryan?
Yeah, always a better dragon than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. So in the final round's time expires, looks to be kind of a draw between myself and Sarah, because obviously Ryan's only got his poor one little drow warrior left hiding here behind there. I flew over, grabbed the potion of healing, given, you know, Nilfheim a pretty strong, can restore all his health, and would have probably just used my breath attack to slowly whittle guys down. But time ran out, so that's going to be the end of this game. Let's get to the final review of Hero Escape, Master Set 3, Battle for the Underdark. Okay, it's time to do our final review and discussion of HeroScape Master Set 3, Battle for the Underdark. We're going to go point by point, kind of move things along, say what we like, what we don't like, and we'll tabulate the score behind me on our all-famous scoreboard.
Yay!
So let's start things off, first of all, this game is still HeroScape. It's something I definitely like. So it's a new Master Set, and the fact that it's a new starter set, but it's not a new rules edition. So it's not like where some games change the rules up all the time and introduce new things. It's still HeroScape, plays just like HeroScape, it feels like HeroScape. You guys like it?
Yes.
And of course, coming along with that, you've got obviously, you know, simple combat system, simple movement, that kind of stuff. What do you guys like? I mean, I don't know, Ryan, tell us why you think this is so awesome. You always love talking about this thing.
Because, well, it is simple, and like I said, it pulls in all the draw, all the genres, and all this mess of warriors to where you can set up fighting, you know, one hero against another that could be just completely different to where in another type of a scenario, like miniature type scenario, you wouldn't be able to do where you put all these guys up against each other. So in that way it's good. And like the way the combat system is just very simple still.
Roll your attack dice. I roll my attack dice. You roll your defense dice.
And I commented earlier how that's almost too, almost like I'm like, wait a minute, am I being folded into something that was made by WizKids or something like that? Because I complain about this sometimes to where it's like
Batman.
it's like it's by the luck of the draw, but there is
a lot of luck in this game.
Yeah, there is a lot of luck, but there are also elements of strategy too, because you could see ways, and I could see ways when I was moving my guys here, I'm like, oh, I should have done it differently. Oh, I should have done that differently. So there is ways, even though there is a lot of luck, there is still a lot of strategy as well.
Because you've got the hills and the elevation, so I mean, that definitely adds a little bit of strategy too, with a relatively simple combat system. So Sarah, do you have any thoughts on how the combat works? Do you like it? Or?
Yeah, it was very fast-paced, and anybody could play it.
Yeah, we got a lot done in an hour.
Just
there.
An hour, yes.
We've teared through a lot of people, a lot of stuff died, and it's just, like you said, it is really simple. What about movement? I mean, movement is still the same thing. You basically, and it's really easy, you know, you count up the number of spaces when you're climbing up things, and no looking up tables, no references, things, stuff like that.
I got a question about shadow tiles, though. Shadow tiles, do you have to move from, like, water, or are they just regular?
They're normal spaces.
Normal spaces.
So shadow spaces are the new things.
I like those.
They look like water
tiles.
But you don't move like water tiles. Yeah. You know, you're playing the drow, who you guys are hiding in there and evading some stuff.
Kind of thing.
Yes. So what about, I mean, continuing on the idea of that, it's kind of game still HeroScape. We got the battlefield construction. Same basic battlefield, same terrain. I like that. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And of course, I assume Ryan likes that too.
Yes, obviously, yes.
What do you think about the terrain, Sarah? How is it, like, does it seem really simple, or do you think it's necessarily complex? What do you, too pretty?
I think it's simple. And I like the different designs on it and the different colors. It makes it a lot funner.
Yeah, it allows you also to build your own terrain pieces, right, too. You don't have to go by the book. I mean,
right.
If I wanted to go by the book because I wanted to do something fast, you can make your own terrain rather easily.
Right. Now, I do want to give a bit of a downer on the terrain in terms of this set, because being this supposed to be a dungeon crawl, all we've got is more of the same.
Yes.
I mean, frankly, I've already got the two master sets before that, and I got a few of the terrain kits. I got two of the castle
sets. You
would think
you would have been moving through a castle or something,
yeah,
through a dungeon.
I would have liked to see maybe actual room-like tiles, maybe hallways, maybe doorways, mm-hmm, something that actually makes it feel like you're in a castle
but
or a dungeon.
But you gotta keep
or
in mind
a cave.
You gotta keep in mind. Actually, I'll have to say,
a little bit of a cave.
I'll have to put like on that, because this isn't the Dungeons and Dragons universe. This is the HeroScape universe. The HeroScape universe might not have dungeons or anything in that universe.
It's
that effect.
It has underground cavern systems and a bit of dungeon. That's where it's, you know, storyline takes place with this game. Multiple scenarios are in a dungeon. So, I mean, I would have, you know, granted, there's still castles and things like that.
You do have dungeon tiles, kind of.
Dungeon tile is the same tile with different colors.
Yes.
I mean,
and I agree with that, but still. They don't want to turn it into a Dungeons and Dragons game. They want to keep it HeroScape.
But it would have been neat to kind of, I think, if they actually could have gone that direction, or maybe at least make it available. But, you know, for me, it doesn't really feel... Because they tried... Well, okay, let's say this. They did try to take a little bit of Dungeons and Dragons direction, you know, the dungeon crawl adventures they have in the book. But unless if it's just basically small HeroScape battles, to me, it does not really feel like a Dungeons adventure. They are trying to take it a little bit in that direction with this game. Not entirely, but a little bit. And to me, they don't really feel like...
And I think, actually, we'd be criticizing more if they went real entirely, you know, they might have turned it to another game if they went way too far.
Maybe. But to me, it's just more the same terrain. It's cool, but, you know, if it's a dungeon set, maybe a little bit different.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on that?
I think also that a lot of the Dungeons and Dragons things, if they were going to do that build, a lot of horror stuff.
That's true, there's a lot of outdoor stuff. There are a few forests for HeroScape, but they're... I don't know if you can find them anymore.
And hopefully we'll be able to see, maybe, you say they're going to make more Dungeons and Dragons
figures.
Stuff.
Just like how they have
normal...
Oh, just expansion sets.
I don't think it's... At least there may be something else down the line, but as far as I know, I'm pretty sure it's just, you know, small packs you buy.
Okay. Oh, and if...
Figure expansion
hopefully
packs.
If they do add sets where there's more terrains, they might... able to implement something like that in the terrain. You never know.
Yeah, that's good. So we want to talk a little bit kind of about combat tactics and movement tactics, how they, I mean, they're simple, but they work well together.
Mm-hmm.
Team synergy tactics, because this has always been a big thing of HeroScape. Your guys work well together. You pick guys that complement each other. Raylan complements everybody, so Raylan always is in my army. So I always like that aspect of the game. I know this is like the first couple times you've been playing the game. Kind of seen a little bit how that works there, how, you know,
mm-hmm,
certain guys work well together.
Yep.
And just, do you like that idea?
How, yes, I do.
Yeah, because that gives a lot of thought to how you want to build your army out,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Balance?
Yes.
I like it.
I agree.
And also, in terms of, when talking about the team synergy, I also think about the terrain synergy as well,
mm-hmm,
as with your drow and the shadow spaces.
Mm-hmm. I love those shadow spaces. Oh my goodness.
They'll keep those guys alive.
That was a good idea. Whoever thought of the shadow spaces, just become my best friend, because that was an excellent idea, especially with implementing with the figures, giving these figures extra power to where you really have to think twice before approaching these guys, even if you have a height advantage against them. You could still not hurt them.
You have almost, what, like a 50% chance or more of negating all damage,
yes,
to you pretty much? Yeah. Does the hero drow, does he have that ability too, do you know?
Let's see. Keep on talking.
Okay. Did you even use him in the battle?
No, he got wiped out before I could even use him.
Oh, that's right. He died up here, didn't he?
Right.
That's right. I was like, what happened?
Two of my guys, the troll and Pelop, died before I could even use him.
But I was, what was it? Oh.
Yeah, he does.
So what if the same guy who came up with the shadow spaces came up with the purple order markers? Would you love him and want to punch him?
I would love him and want to punch him at the same time. Okay, here it is. Lurk in the shadows. Pelop. Lurk in the shadows with Pelop is on one shadow space. Opponent's figures must be adjacent to attack him with a normal attack.
Okay.
So technically you can't get hit with a normal attack
or get hit by archers or anything
unless they were adjacent to him.
Very cool.
Just
but he is out in the rock cliff all by himself, and the guy slice to pieces by his Kyrie warriors over here. So let's go heroes versus units. So in this particular set, you've got mostly heroes. Mm-hmm. You only got actually one squad of troops.
What do we think of them, like the heroes versus the units kind of thing?
I mean, I thought the heroes were kind of weak, so I'm going to go a little bit down on them.
Same.
Ryan? We've got to talk a little bit about this, but... Now that you've actually got to play with
the
player,
I actually
like
the heroes.
Okay, you like the heroes?
Yeah, I like them. Especially, like, I really was kind of criticizing the dragon because, oh, this dragon's so small, it's not going to do much. But actually, I mean, it complements with the Shadow Hexes as well. It ends up with a boost attack as long as it's on the Shadow Hexes.
Yeah, that's kind of cool how he kind of hides it.
Yeah, yeah. Even though he can get killed pretty easily, I mean,
And Big Bat Daddy came home.
He can get crushed pretty easily, but he can swoop in. I mean, it could have turned around on you, Jason, just as bad if he would have swooped down a railing and just got seven hit and just knocked railing out quickly.
So I will give... Okay, I'll give another bonus point for the dragon myself as well, because I thought he was... We were kind of harsh on him initially, but he does have some cool stuff.
And this squad, I mean, the common squad that they have in here is... a pretty good squad.
Yeah, as long as you have the shadow spaces, without them, I guess they're still halfway as decent. They're, what, 3-3? So.
Yeah, they're 3-3. They're just a normal squad.
Yeah, so the unit's good for the set, then?
And they complement one of the unique heroes, too, because with the one unique hero, can channel an attack through these guys, which is kind of cool.
Oh, that's right. You can do stuff like that. Yep. So let's dive on a little bit, I guess, almost like HeroScape philosophy. What do we think of the idea of Dungeons & Dragons actually being in HeroScape? Does it make sense? I mean, no? Sarah says no? I mean, honestly, I'm kind of a little bit indifferent.
I'd say yes.
Ryan says yes. That's tough. Do I really...
Well, just for the fact that that's what HeroScape is. HeroScape invites warriors and monsters and from all sorts of genres, or at least tries to. Mm-hmm. And it's good that they're able to get licenses from some places like Marvel.
In this case, Wizards of the Coast owns Dungeons & Dragons. Okay. So that's how they have the license. There's no license deal going on in the background.
All right, very cool.
And so they're going to break rules. I'm going to give one to each because I'm indifferent.
And you can't do that.
Fine.
How do you do the indifferent rule?
I'm allowed to break the rules, aren't I? No, I'm not. Okay.
It's not allowed.
I'll say it's good with a star. The reason I say it's a bit of a star is I don't want to see every single different... Maybe a few licensed properties is kind of cool, but if this ends up becoming Star Wars versus Star Trek versus this versus that, and all the normal HeroScape stuff is gone, it's really going to lose a lot of flavor of the universe to me. A little bit is kind of cool, but like I said, I don't want to see it all just become licensed properties. I do like the fact there are unique characters, unique people, and you can build a story around that. Because you can build a story around original characters... a lot better than you can build a story around licensed properties.
I disagree in the fact that I like there to be a mix of licensed properties along with original characters.
Yeah.
I think if you have a good, solid mix, that makes the game just so much more flavorful. Because you're battling with guys that are unique to the game, but also guys that you might like in other games and genres.
So what was a big thumbs down right off the bat there,
Well,
Sarah?
Just because... the different, like, the worlds, you know, you should keep the different, like, characters in their own world. That's how I am.
Yeah, well, like I said, that's what HeroScape is. That's what HeroScape does, is pool.
I just think Dungeons & Dragons characters should be in their dungeons and their forests and not battling.
They get taken by the HeroScape universe.
So what do we think about, I know we only played the one dungeon scenario, but what do we think about it? Do you like the small-scale HeroScape battles, versus, or do you like the big ones better?
I like the big ones
better. I like both.
Both? Yeah. It's something different. I will say...
There's something different about both.
Let's go here. Let's go. Big battles. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Small battles. Yes or no?
Yes.
Sarah?
No.
No? Okay. I'll say yes to that as well. Okay, so... for me, I guess in terms of the big battles are awesome because big battles generally are good in any universe, especially HeroScape because it runs so quickly, so smoothly, there's not a lot of bogging down, it plays pretty quickly. The small battles, I do like them with a little bit of a star. They have to be designed a lot better than just tossing a bunch of guys into a field and going at it. I mean, the one scenario, the first one with the troll, is kind of sucks. And I played about three or four times, just kind of run against myself, doing the math probabilities, and I couldn't beat it. Ryan tried it. He couldn't beat it. It seems...
I could have.
You could have.
I didn't.
You could have, but it's very, it seems like a very difficult scenario to play to me. There was a little bit of luck involved where you got to roll a few nice hits against that troll because it regenerates so quickly. Mm-hmm. So what do you think on the idea of small versus big battles? Any comments on it? Just like them?
Yeah, I like playing the big battles. I mean, you know how I'm big with like the big battles where everybody faces
We've
everybody.
Seen that before.
Yes, but also just the small ones, the ones they make up. I mean, if anything, it helps improve your campaign skills. It helps improve your strategy skills, and it helps you work with what their storyline is through the game because they do have a campaign storyline.
Yeah,
a little bit. So it's good to play through that.
So what's the turnoff for the small battles? Anything
in
particular?
It just went like so quickly, and it's like you just like there wasn't you didn't have to do like a lot of thinking. You just threw everything in there, and then okay, we're done.
Drop everybody a troll card, movie troll, smash. I can see. Now, I know some people have kind of taken the idea of this dungeon campaign and are running with it. You go on the HeroScapers forums, and you'll find people who are actually creating entire campaigns based on, like, Final Fantasy and all sorts of other video games.
Sweet.
And really cool stuff. So I think there is a place for the dungeon crawl-style HeroScape stuff. I mean, what you'll find is actually a lot of the some of the concepts behind this game actually come from an old dungeon crawl game called HeroQuest, mainly the way you fight with the dice. That's ripped right from the game. Grand Hasbro owns a license. There's a lot of stuff going back and forth. Not that they stole it, because they own the license and everything. But, I mean, it's something different. I do kind of like to see them having that as an option. I don't know if I'd play it a lot, but it's nice to see it as an option. You have to try some fun experiment with it, maybe try some units alongside the heroes, and just fun stuff like that. Well, we already talked about...
Other universes. I mean, one thing I like to do is get Marvel into the mix, too, and see what happens there.
Which one? Was it Marvel or DC that had the HeroScape game?
It was Marvel.
Was it Marvel? Okay, yeah. I never got that one, though.
Yeah.
I didn't really give a crap about it. I don't care about superheroes much. Freedom Force is awesome. Everyone else, I like the one parody group, and that's like, yeah, screw it. Everyone else.
Like I said, just to play, because I think there was a Hulk on the cover of
I
Marvel.
I think there was.
I just love to play the Hulk in this and see what happens.
So we're just about done here. I was going to say, one thing about bringing other universes into it. If you read through the entire campaign, at the very end, if the heroes actually do somehow win, which I don't think is possible, but if they do win, it mentions that there's, like, these massive archaic runes and magic writing on the walls that glow and emanate with power. So apparently there's some other source of power than the wellsprings that bring people into this world. So maybe we'll be seeing other crazy, who knows what's going to come into it. But
it's going to be awesome.
Evidence
looking forward to it.
Going to pull in. So why don't we go ahead, and just do some final reviews here, and we'll finish this show up. So let's roll D20. Highest person to go first. 7.
1.
I got a 1.
Way to go. What is he, got a 6 or 9 right there?
9.
Okay. Sarah, do you want to say a few comments? Like it, hate it? Or actually, before we do that, let's count up our totals on the scoreboard in the back here.
Can we just add another one just because I love this game?
The rules are a bit more shady for this than they were with Grind, but okay, we got from So Sweet, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
You can't compare this game to Grind, though.
About 38 or so. For Haterade, 38 to 15, yeah, that's basically that's better than reversing on Grind.
Yes.
When you usually get twice as many So Sweets as Haterade, that usually falls in the category of awesome game.
Yes.
So... Sarah, last few comments.
It was very fun. I loved it.
You want to play it again then?
Yes.
All right. For me, I'm next. It's still HeroScape. HeroScape was awesome. It's still awesome. Personally, for a new player, I'd recommend trying to track down one of the first two master sets over this one. Mm-hmm. So maybe this one as a product isn't super awesome. It adds to the game and it's great. For a starter set, though, I would try to find one of the first two master sets, Swarm of the Morrow or Rise of the Valkyrie. But, like I said, it's still HeroScape, so it's still awesome. I definitely would play it again if I had time to play it. But I play 40K all the time now. Ryan.
Okay, yes.
Fanboy response.
Fanboy response. Well, just to clear a couple things out of the way. Where's the purple thing, by the way?
The purple stuff.
Okay, there you go. Okay, I was just a little disappointed in the fact that they had these.
The Purple Order tokens.
Purple Order token.
Or now they're in Audio Land.
And the fact that this set felt more like an expansion set than it did a starter set. So, but besides that...
It was awesome playing with these guys. They worked well with the other characters.
I can't wait to see what they come up with next with HeroScape and to review it and play it.
All right, well, Let's go ahead and kind of wind this show down a little bit. Thanks for coming on, Sarah. You did a good job. I think it turned out better than Ryan did in his first show.
Oh, yes. Where I said, every time I said a word. Okay. I could be highly critical of myself.
My first show, I said crap after every word. So, I'm a pretty darn good upgrade over that. So, as usual, questions or comments, send them over to Jason at rockosoftware.com. That's rockosoftware.com. And Twitter at @TT_Battlefield. Ryan is still twittering a little bit.
Our man at 4, yeah. I'm boosting up 100%, I think, from last.
So you had about two tweets versus one?
Three or four
to like one, yeah. You climbed quite a bit.
Yes, I did.
Well, any last little topics about the game or anything? No?
No, I still love it. It's still my favorite game, and I think it always will be, minus the purple.
All right, well, purple. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show, the new format. Let me know if you like it. Let me know if you hate it. Tell me why, but I'll probably ignore you. That's all right. Sarah's like, whatever. All right, well, see you guys again in about 2 weeks on the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.